It's nice to have you here today on this super hot day. Is anyone feeling a little tender tonight? There's a few rugby supporters in the crowd tonight. We're going to form a prayer chain after the church. Yeah, it was super disappointing this morning. Title of tonight's sermon, Until Sunset. Okay, that's maybe sounds romantic. I don't know. What do you think it's about? Any guesses tonight? Would you like to include the audience? You're not the audience, you are the church. Any guesses? Pitt, as it a guess. Persisting until the end. That is a good, that's a good sermon. We should do that sometime. Yes. Ryan. Okay, I like the angle there. Okay, we can talk about that. All right, let me just break the tension here. Talking a bit about disappointment. There's a definition you'll find in your local Oxford Dictionary. And it says, failing to fulfill a desire or expectation resulting in frustration or distress. Okay, can anyone identify with it? Yeah. You had a desire, you had an expectation, it wasn't met. And then immediately you were dumped into an emotional abyss of frustration, distress, maybe temptation to curse or throw something at your television, particularly this morning. I believe that there's some people here maybe that were tempted to send hate mail to a certain Bryce Lawrence this morning. But we won't go there because we are of the redeemed. Okay. I don't normally say this, but it's only a game. Okay. No, there was a lot riding on it this morning. But maybe tonight's sermon, if you are a bit tender for this morning's, because of this morning, then maybe tonight's sermon might bless you a bit. But more than that, you know, there's many little things that can disappoint us in life and that frequently do. Maybe your last visit to the post office or the traffic department. I don't know if they've gotten the hang of their e-Natus system yet, but I walked into the Belleville traffic department the day after they had it installed, and I had to get something done, like spur of the moment very quickly, and it was just queues. I think I waited there for 3 hours in a queue. Yeah, it was very frustrating. You know, we maybe get cut off in traffic by a taxi, or you go to your favorite restaurant and you've got a high expectation. Maybe you take someone special there, and then the whole night is dealt a cruel blow when the food gets there and there's something, you know, nasty in the food, or the steak is like completely, you know, like rock solid or something, whatever. And, you know, and now you have to like complain and whatever. And it's not nice, you know. Expectations haven't been met, and there you are, disappointed. It's not a nice place to be. Emotions fluctuating and whatever. But these are just small examples. When it gets closer to home, when it's a family member, or maybe someone in authority, a boss, church leadership, even God, maybe an unanswered prayer or something. One of those people close to you disappoint you. You had a certain expectation of them wasn't met. You know, then it really hits home. We become flooded with all kinds of emotions, from anger and, you know, to resentment and bitterness, you know, real sadness. And then we have to deal with it. And none of us are exempt from that. You know, we can... You won't have to walk very far after church to find someone who's in that place. But Christians aren't immune to those emotions. We face it, but we've been given a plan and a framework of how to deal with it. Are there windows open there or a door? Sorry. Ryan, can I ask you maybe to close this window? Not that that's going to help much, but Rob, because you look like some of the bikers downstairs. Rudy doesn't answer his phone. I found him just now, so I had to go and ask him something. But he's the owner of the bar. He's got, I'm sorry about this, bit of admin for a second. He's got like sort of curly, not curly, but he's got like a bob, frizzy, okay, and a beard. He's normally behind the bar. Otherwise, the bar, I'm just asking for Rudy, and then just asking maybe if they can hold the drumming till after church. That'll be great. I've spoken to him about it before. He just said I must remind him. Okay, just say Tien's asked nicely, please. And then you can close the doors when you come back. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. We're talking about disappointment. And you see, I could have been disappointed now because I've spoken to Rudy before. It's happened once before. And it stopped. Thank you, Rudy. Okay. Disappointment, you know, and in the business world, they're in tune with this because they know if customers get disappointed, then they will lose those customers. There's such competition out there. Big companies, they've got, you know, customer service managers and everything that are specifically, you know, it's their job description to make sure that people's expectations are firstly managed and then met. Sometimes our expectations are unreasonable, okay? And then we're setting ourselves up for disappointment and whatever. Other times, simply expectations aren't met. Why? Because no one's perfect except God, okay? So for those of us who are maybe disappointed at God, we don't actually have a right to be, but He understands when we are, but we just need to deal with it very quickly. Because God is never wrong. God is never wrong, okay? So we are wrong in that instance, or we just don't understand, okay? And sometimes it's we're talking about very sensitive issues, yeah? So I say it very respectfully, but we need to go to God with these things. So on online, on the web, they've got, what's that complaints website, Peter, Hello Peter. They had that. And these days, Facebook and Twitter, who said it the other day, someone had like bad service from one of the big, I think it was cellular networks or whatever, and then they put a message on Facebook about, you know, they've had such poor service from, you know, say hypothetically MTN or whatever. And it wasn't like 10 minutes. And there was a reply on Facebook saying, you know, can we call you about this? We want to apologize. We want to fix the situation. And, you know, gave the number, they phoned, they fixed the situation. Another 10 minutes later, the guy, there was a guy in church, he made another post and said, yeah, good service, MTN. You know, they got back to me and they fixed it all and, you know, two thumbs up and whatever. And so there are people that literally they're scanning the social networks because it can sink a company. You know, that kind of bad publicity. And so, you know, it's a big thing today, disappointment, but it's something that we have to deal with. We need to be as prompt as that guy from MTN who's scanning the social networking sites and whatever. Obviously, they've got software that will highlight whatever posts are made regarding their company. But we need to be like that. We need to really act on it quickly. The Bible says we must keep short accounts. You don't want to sit there with anger and so on for a long time because it will fester. Your heart will become dirty and ugly and people won't want to hang around you very long. You know, there's some people that I don't really enjoy watching rugby with. Okay. Because, and I can understand that I used to be like that, 100%. Okay. But now it's difficult for me to watch rugby with them because they're still in that place. It's not to bring condemnation or anything. But they're still in that place, and it's like jumping up, and it's like you become another person. And they're like swearing and this and that and shouting every second. You know, it's more of a show, kind of just living, surviving this thing. It's like a survivor series just to watch the rugby with him, you know, because you might get slapped inadvertently or something like that. Now, that's not very nice. It's not very nice when you're around someone that can't control their emotions or don't know how to deal with their emotions. We need to grow out of that place when we can take our anger and we can deal with it. It's not sin to be angry. You know, someone treated you unfairly. It's not sin to be angry, but you need to channel it. You need to deal with it. You need to take that to God. And we're going to look at a number of scriptures tonight. And we just need to, you know, I think all of us can identify with that sometimes, especially the enemy likes to dish something up to orchestrate a little situation, you know, because he talks to people and he tempts people and he gets people to do bad stuff, which influences us. And so he can orchestrate a situation. He's been in the game for well over 6,000 years and he can do it. He knows our weaknesses. He knows your weaknesses, but we need to start overcoming. Okay. We need to start rising up to the challenge. You need to see the next time a guy cuts you off in traffic, you need to recognize that is a challenge. You know, praise God. Yeah, we go again. The enemy has set me up and I can respond to it in two different ways. Okay. And so embrace that challenge as an opportunity to grow. We need to start dealing with this. We can't let these things get us down and steal our confidence before God. We need to rise above the challenge. We all can sing, "We are overcomers." I saw Joyce Meyer tweeted this morning. By the way, you need to get on social media. If you're not there yet, speak to Tobias or Pietri. Okay. We need to get on social media because there's a lot of people in the world today that live on social media and you're not going to connect them with them any other way. And they need Jesus as well. You want to know how someone's really doing? Because if you bump into them, how's it going? No good. And okay, because you don't have 2 minutes to chat to the person, or they might not share it in public. You want to actually see, you know, ironically, they do share it on Facebook. You want to see what's going on in their life? Read their Facebook posts. Read their Facebook posts. You know, one girl, and she was in church at Tigerberg a few years ago, and so she's, you know, on Facebook and everything, and I just noticed after about 3 weeks, she had posted, basically 3 posts seemed to get more and more kind of depressing in nature. And then I replied. It's not normally someone that I would really reply to because I didn't really know her that well. It's just more of an acquaintance. But that's kind of, on Facebook, you connect with whoever you know. Just kind of enlarge the network so that, you know, you make a post, maybe it blesses someone. That is, you got to find out the reason why you want to be there. And then you go in line with that. Now, I noticed getting a bit depressed and whatever, so I replied, you know, are you okay? I just noticed your messages seem to be, you know, like maybe something's wrong. And you know, she replied, yeah, I was actually going through a hard time and whatever. And so I could say, cool, man, I'll pray for you. We need to be perceptive. So we all go through difficult times and we all face these challenges and we get disappointed, upset, angry, sad. We need to learn to deal with it, and we need each other for that as well. So I've got a few keys to dealing with disappointment. Firstly, to see it as a test. As I mentioned, we need to rise up to the challenge. I interrupted myself. Joyce Meyer said this morning something about all Christians. We like to say we are overcomers. We sing it. We want it. But no one wants anything to overcome. So we want the victory badge without going through a battle. You only get victory if you go through a battle. Can I have an amen at the back?
Amen.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Rob. He's alive and kicking after 130 kilometers on the bike yesterday. Romans 5, verse 3 to 4. You got it up there. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Okay. So, Ryan, good stuff. This was what he was talking about. You know, got to make it to the end. Persevere. Now you're faced with a challenge. Okay, something happened and like you're thrust into this place that you don't want to be, not lacking emotions and whatever. The promise there is that it can make us stronger, it can build our character. But that depends on how you react to it. It's not automatically going to do it. You can end off worse if you don't respond by trusting God and asking Him to guide you through it and obeying Him in the process. So we need to, it's really all dependent upon how we respond to the test. It's interesting that the Lord says that we should be exceedingly grateful, rejoice in tribulation because of this, because it can make you stronger. So that's where that adage, the age-old adage holds true. If it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. Okay, we need to really embrace the challenges because you can come out stronger on the other side, or you can just go through it in the flesh and just swear at everyone, become a grumpy old pot, left, right, and center. You're not going to be any worse off. You might be minus a few friends afterwards, okay? So we need to respond to it in the right way. The good news for us, Hebrews, is that Jesus resisted to the point of bloodshed in order to overcome the sin, the weight of the world's sin on His shoulders. We don't have to, in most cases, resist to bloodshed against sin. We just need to kind of put a smile on our face and say, look, okay, it happened. Can't go turn back time and undo that, but I can do this and this and this. But you don't have to nail yourself to a cross. That's what Jesus had to do for us. That's what He had to do to overcome the challenge that was set before Him. He had to go to the cross. His blood had to be shed. We can be grateful. He's done that. The victory for us, the overall, overarching, great victory has been won, price been paid in full already. We need to walk in that victory. So the battles, yes, we will face battles, but they are minuscule compared to what Jesus went through for us. And we can really just go to Him every time and say, Lord, how do I go through this? How do I go through this? There's no scenario on earth that God doesn't understand completely all the different variables and everyone's emotions. There's not one challenge that God cannot navigate you through. Not one. He is all wisdom. He can help you. Do not exclude God in your difficulties. Include Him. He wants to be part of it. Because He paid the price already for you to get victory in that area. He paid the price. We must go to Him. Okay, then the second pointer. I've got 6 pointers, but I'm going to go quickly. I want to keep you here all night. Number 2 is coming up soon. Have a godly perception of the offender. Okay, now this is now, if it's now someone else that disappointed you, hurt your feelings, said something nasty, did something nasty, stole from you, lied to you, whatever, these things happen on a daily basis, even to believers. We must have the attitude that Jesus had, hanging on the cross. The pain that was inflicted on Him, the result of other people's sin, and His attitude was, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. That we might have that attitude, realizing that anyone out there who disappoints you or hurts you, anyone out there, to realize that they are not perfect. They are not perfect. They're fallible, just like you are. And they need Jesus just as much. You know, and sometimes it can be a believer and he already has Jesus and you're like, but he should know better. Fair enough, but he's still not perfect. Just because we know Jesus doesn't make us perfect. I've got a t-shirt that I wear from time to time that offends a lot of people because it says 100% Christian. People don't know what that means. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. Doesn't say perfect. It says 100% Christian. That means I love Jesus and I know who to go to when I get into trouble. I know where to go when I mess up. Okay? So we mustn't forget that. Too often, we forget, if we look at Matthew 7, that we can be so disappointed at this person for what they did now, but we can walk away, and the next moment we can go and hurt someone 100 times worse than what they hurt us. So let's have a sober perspective of who's doing the damage here, who they are, the fact that they're still a work in progress. They're somewhere on their way to being sanctified to holiness if they're a believer, or hopefully somewhere on their way to coming to know Jesus. We must have that sober perspective. We must remember that we're also only here by the grace of God. Point number three is that we forgive continuously. This is a lifestyle of forgiveness. Someone once said this is the language of Christianity. This is the love language of Christians, is forgiveness. Apparently, many people have had the revelation that this is the number one sin that is going to keep Christians out of heaven one day. People that live as Christians and proclaim themselves as Christians, that's going to keep them out of heaven one day, is unforgiveness. Simply because you can live a perfect life, but there may be this one person that really hurt you really badly in your life, and you just don't get to the point where you can say, Lord, I forgive so-and-so. You just can't get to that point. The rest of your life, you live 100% perfect, holy, holy, holy before God, except for that one person that you cannot forgive. And Jesus says, sorry, then he cannot forgive you. In other words, you don't get to spend eternity with God. This is something that we have to watch out for. It's something that we maybe don't remind each other of enough. Because why is it that believers still struggle with offenses and hold on to offenses? Remember, it's something that you choose to hold on. You choose to stay bitter towards someone. It's not an uncontrollable force that is placed on you. It's a choice that you choose, that you can let go of by saying those words, Lord, I forgive them. Remember, it has more to do, forgiveness has more to do with what you say than how you feel. You can still feel angry towards the person. And by God's grace, that will dissipate and get less and less. And it might be necessary for you, for yourself, to keep saying, Lord, I forgive so-and-so. Lord, I forgive so-and-so. God needs to hear it from you once, but you need to mean it. Lord, I'm so angry, but I forgive so-and-so. I realize, Lord, that I'm only saved by your grace. I'm not perfect. It could have been me. I could have done that. Well, I've done it to many people. But Lord, I forgive so-and-so. I pray that you'll bless that person. You know? We need to learn to forgive. By God's grace, even we can learn to forget. Okay? That's why you've got the SABC program. Forgive and forget. Okay? Okay. It's a Christian principle there. Because you can forget. God, the Bible says that God forgets. We believe that it's He chooses to forget. It's not like he can't recall it if he wanted to, but he has chosen to forget because he has all knowledge. He can do anything, and he chooses to forget it. Never. That means never to mention it again to that person or to anyone else. That's what forgiveness is. It means you've said you forgive the person, and then you don't speak about it again. You haven't forgiven the person. If you go home and you tell your mates all about it again, what that person did to you, you know, you skin it about it or whatever, then you haven't forgiven it. It has to do with our tongue. We speak forgiveness and then it's over. As if it didn't happen again, you don't talk to that person about it or to anyone else ever again. That's forgiveness. That is forgiveness. You know, bar maybe a testimony of how good God has been to help you to forgive or whatever. But again, not with a motive to bring shame on that person, because some people do that in the name of spirituality. They want to share testimonies. But meantime, they're actually smearing the other person's name in the mud. Okay, we mustn't do that. That's being a nasty Christian, and that is sin as well. Gossip, one of the biggest sins in the church today. Okay? If you want to get out of the habit of gossip, don't watch programs like Seven Delon and so on. Yeah? Okay? Because that helps us in the wrong direction. It gives us very bad habits. Okay. Good. Forgiveness. I've shared this one with you before. When's enough enough? When Am I in the right not to forgive someone? Obviously, we know the answer, never. Because if I have any unforgiveness in me, I'm sorry. It's not going to make it, not going to cut it. Peter asked the Lord, thinking he's super spiritual, you know, should I forgive them 7 times? If this person offends me 7 times, Jesus said no. See, Peter thought he was clever because the Pharisees, the super spiritual people of the day, the leaders of the church said 3 times. So Peter, yeah, thinks, man, he's doing more than double. Okay? This is, the Lord is going to be so impressed with him. The Lord says, no, Peter, not 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. And you do the math on that one, in the average day of waking hours, that equates to forgiving the same person every 2 minutes. Now, I think there's hardly someone that's going to cut you off in traffic every 2 minutes, follow you around. You just get to the photocopy machine at work and they're like there, you know, in the kitchen for the coffee and they're, sorry, I was here. You know, that's not going to happen. All right? That guy's too busy. That taxi driver's trying to do laps. He's not going to follow you to the office. So, yes, the Lord implies you never reach that point where enough's enough. We've got to forgive every time. Okay? Maybe the closest that we can get to this number would be spouses, husbands and wives, because we live together. Okay, sometimes if you work together, like my wife and I, we've spent time years together in the same office, like 1 meter apart, and you know, you guys know how it goes. Office, it's hot. Tigerberg Medical Campus, Johan will know, right in the bottom of the Onderwijs block. No air conditioning and whatever down there. It's a cramped space. We were at 1.5 people in a space of just a little bit bigger than the kitchen area. Okay? And it's hot. And now Charlene, she's got her back to me. She's on the other side. And so I'm like, yo, Liffy, can you print that out for me, please? And whatever. And, you know, and it's hot and whatever. And I want the window open. She wants it closed because she wears a jersey in summer and so on. You know, she can't hear me at the back there. So, yeah, so it's sometimes with the heat, the tempers rise and everything, and you need to learn how to be soft and gentle to each other and forgive each other. Because you're together in the car on the way home, and back then the car didn't have aircon either. Praise God for air conditioning, especially in this summer. And then, you know, stay in your little house together. You just, you know, so that, we maybe got close to that number, but yes, you never reach the point where enough's enough. Then, number 4, we're getting there, to respond in love. When we are disappointed, we need to respond in love. This is the Christian way, okay? It's the way of love. Luke chapter 6, took out 3 verses there. I say to you who hear, love your enemies. You can insert Australia into there. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. Okay. We need to love our enemies. This is a difficult thing. Okay. It's very easy to be friendly and kind and so on to your friends. And most of the time we hang around our friends. It's just kind of, you know, life is busy and you got your work and whatever. And you're friendly at work and so on, maybe partly because you want to keep your job. And then you're friendly around your friends. We seldom spend time, or, you know, it's very seldom that we, that there's a, well, what would one say? But there's something that happens with someone that you don't know that kind of comes into your space or into your bubble and does something to hurt you. It doesn't often happen. You know, those interactions are few and far between. Something that you can, maybe a stranger or something that approaches you in the shop and says something nasty to you, you know, whether the person was justified in doing that, you know, whether whatever they thought happened or not, but they were nasty to you and now you can take an offense. That kind of thing doesn't happen very often. Maybe to some people, hardly ever. But then that would be, you know, akin to this scripture, and we need to respond in love. Okay, so something that happens takes you completely by surprise, comes way out of, you know, left field. You couldn't see it coming. But now someone, a complete stranger, is like kind of attacking you verbally or even physically. These things happen. We've had, you know, Brighton and Emmy and Chan, you know, these guys live in rough neighborhoods. We're very privileged, the rest of us. We live in much less rough neighborhoods. And Brighton has been stabbed. Chan has been stabbed. Emmy, have you been stabbed before? Praise God. Okay. But these are rough neighborhoods. And it's the, you know, these things happen. And it's very difficult to love that person. Okay. Mustn't, when the person's coming at you with a knife, you know, turn the other cheek. I want to use it figuratively in this instance. Okay. You run away. Ask God to protect you. But we must love the people. We must forgive them. Okay. That is difficult. And for us, maybe the rest of us, we're not always going to be in that situation, or you're not in that kind of a high risk, dangerous situation on a daily basis. If you go on mission trips and more, we're going to be taking mission teams into hostile areas, you know, high density Muslim areas and so on. Up Africa, we've got contacts with churches up Africa where there's really, you know, ministering in the north of Nigeria, which is like dominated by the Muslims. And it's, you know, it's challenging times. You actually, you know, you have to trust God for your life there. And we need to love those people. Well, obviously, we're going there to love them. And so then it's easy because you can go with a certain your expectations not very high in terms of being received nicely. But yeah, for us here, we need to be ready. We need to be ready to love. That's why, you know, you start your day with the Lord, and you Bible says we have put on Christ, and we need to remember that. First and foremost, to the world, we're a Christian. Before you're an accountant or a teacher or a doctor, whatever you are a Christian. And what we need to project to the world is love. That's all that God has asked us to do to the world, is to love them. He's already paid the price for them. We don't need to convince them. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. We just need to love them. Okay? We've spoken about this at length before. You must be kind to them. You must love them. Help them. Okay? We need to speak, show them love every which way. It's love. Ephesians 4, this is where our title comes from, verse 26 and 27. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Okay, so basically you've got until sunset. I make that at about another hour to forgive the Aussies, or Bryce Lawrence, or Donnie Rousseau. You know. Got about an hour left. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Okay, until sunset. Remember that now. When you're feeling all angry and resentful and bitter, I'm so talking particularly, let's bring it home. Think of your family members now. Think of your spouse. Think of your parents. Think of your boss that you're going to see tomorrow. Whoever. Think of God. Maybe an unanswered prayer or something, you know, and then remind yourself until sunset. So what is the Lord saying? He's saying deal with it now. Keep short accounts. Because you can try and shove that thing under the carpet where you're going to, you know, and you can try and kind of forget about it over time. But as soon as something, maybe with the same person, something happens again and it just brings all of that stuff up again, if something happens with a particular person and now you enter into maybe a discussion or argument with them and you bring up stuff from the past, that's a good indication you haven't forgiven them. Okay? But you've just kind of shoved it away in the corner or whatever. The Bible says we need to deal with it now. We mustn't have any hanging bitterness or resentment in our lives. That can steal your salvation. It can cost you your salvation. It is a serious thing. Okay. So disappointment, we need to deal with that as a matter of urgency. And when you've dealt with that, then you're free. You are a free person. We are free as Christians. We're free to love people because we don't hold on to bitterness and resentment. So we're free to love people. As soon as you're hanging on to something, you immediately can't fulfill your mandate because you're not loving that person. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. Love the Lord your God, you know, with everything, and love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, it's about our neighbor. This is why we are here. I love my table view. Okay, I what my table view? Love. Okay, it's so that we can love. We cannot love if we hang on to resentment. So yeah, doesn't always sound so comforting and whatever, but we're going to get to that part as well. Just hold on. I'm going to read for us from Colossians chapter 3. A few verses there. But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Remember last week we said that the old person has gone, okay, the new has come. Jesus Christ made you new, into a new person. When you received him, he changed you. He changed your nature. Your propensity to sin has changed to a propensity towards holiness and obedience to God. You are a new person. When the enemy tries to remind you, remember that person that you're looking at now, remember what that person did to you. That wasn't right. That wasn't right. You should get payback. You should get revenge for that. Okay? That is Satan's voice in your head. What would God have you do? He'd have you forgive that person and start loving that person extravagantly so that you can just get rid of all your issues. Okay? You are a new person. You are a new creation. When the enemy comes to try and tempt you with that kind of thing, say, that could have worked on the old Tians. It's not going to work on the new Tians. So, you know, when I got saved, when I gave my life to Christ, I gave myself a new name because I knew I was a new person. This all happened, I don't know, I didn't ask for it or whatever, but it happened and I realized I was a new person and I gave myself the name Soldier of God. And people, for the first few days, people that spoke to me, I'm like, you know, I took it to that extreme, okay, to shed my old life, okay. If I had a shredder, I'd have shredded everything that I had. But what I did was I bagged it and I threw it away. Okay. I was a new person. I know this is very extreme, but it was the Lord came to fetch me very far. And I was far away. I had to go through this. And so, you know, I told them my name is Soldier of God. Praise God. Okay. They only locked me up for a short while. But I'm back. Okay. So you are a new creation. Proverbs 15. If you want to get some wisdom, if you want to know how to deal with things, go and read Proverbs. Soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh one stirs up anger. Oom Herkie sê altyd, when you're in a conversation with someone and suddenly the curtains catch a light, figuratively speaking, okay? Like the temperature has just gone up 50 degrees because of something that person just said. Okay, then it's time for a time out. If you retaliate with something, you're going to be helping both of you into the ditch. In that situation, God calls a Christian to respond with a soft answer. Diffuse the situation. There's a hectic movie which I don't recommend sensitive people to watch. What's it? Hurt Locker. I don't know if you've seen it. It's very intense, like real life type story of what's happening in Iraq or Afghanistan. But it's like the bomb disposal unit. These are hectic guys, you know, and because there's all sorts of booby traps and bombs lying in the streets and everything, and these guys put their lives on the line every day. Anyway, but think of yourself as a bomb disposal expert, because the next harsh word that's going to be aimed at you is around the corner somewhere. You don't know who it's going to come from, but it's going to come. It could come at work tomorrow. Someone looks at your report and says, you know, what degree did you say you have again? So it can be something that's completely unjustified, nasty or whatever. It could be closer to home. Be ready to respond with a soft answer. You can even think of it now. Because maybe you know the enemy traps you like this often, and he loves it. He's laughing away. I can't believe you just fell into that trap again. It's so easy. I can just do another one exactly the same. And you're going to fall into it again, and you're going to fight, and you're going to say nasty things, and you're going to hold on to bitterness. And man, if I get you just before you die, then you're not even going to go to heaven one day. Don't give the enemy that satisfaction. Maybe you can think to yourself, because you know, because you feel lank guilty afterwards. How does the enemy trip you up? What type of thing gets under your skin where you are just so tempted to get revenge and retaliate and kind of put the new tense there and just go back to the old tense just for a few minutes? But you see, we can't do that. You can't jump from one to the next like you wish and think that no one's going to get hurt and that you and your salvation is not going to be affected. We can't do that. We can't operate like that. So if you know there's someone at work and he just has this way of just winding you up, you know, and getting you, roping you into a fight, or something that your spouse says that really just ticks you off, okay? Remember, we cannot change people. We can just pray for them. But hold on to your own salvation, at least, by being nice, saying something nice. So you remember something that normally gets said, think now of an answer already. Might I suggest something that just blesses, that maybe they very good at taking you, this is your boss or whoever, taking you like completely by surprise. Take them by surprise by your answer. Because it's not worth getting into a fight over anything. Say something that's completely outside of that sphere of conversation. Say, man, but you look really great in that shirt today or whatever. You know? Compliment the person. You're very eloquent when you said that. You know, where did you learn that word? No, but not sarcastically. Just really something sincere. Prepare your heart. If you know tomorrow there's a potentially heated discussion waiting for you, prepare your heart. Do not lose your salvation over nonsense like this, okay? Where you have to go and spend hours at home repenting and whatever. Not necessarily there has to be hours, but you know what I mean. Don't risk it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Your testimony can be so much more powerful in that situation. That's why Jesus said, you know, this tribulation comes, rejoice. It's an opportunity to proclaim Christ. It's an opportunity for your character to be built if you respond in the right way. It's about the decision every time. Do I want to take two steps forward or do I want to take one step backwards? By God's grace, may it be two steps forward. Amen. Proverbs 29, we stick in Proverbs. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. If you cannot say something good, remember the power of life and death are in the tongue. We can speak blessing or cursing. Blessing can build up. Cursing breaks down. If you can't bless, rather don't say anything. Rather don't say anything than curse. It's much better than cursing. At least then you've stayed neutral. Okay? A fool vents all his feelings. We, maybe some of us know people like this. You know, they always have a bad thing to say about someone. They're always complaining. They're always looking for trouble with someone, winding people up, you know, or just being plain nasty. A fool is what the Bible calls a person like that. If you've caused the disappointment, or if you've responded in anger, we have to actually go back and we have to apologize. We have to repent. James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Okay? This is what brings healing. This is what brings reconciliation. You can't just leave it there. If you walk into a room and that person's there, you will look around and you'll see a big pink elephant. That's what they tell me. Okay. You know, if there's an elephant in the room, it's uncomfortable. Okay. It would be really uncomfortable if there was an elephant standing here. Now, I would be uncomfortable. I'd be standing over there. Okay. If you know, the Bible says, if you have a complaint against someone, that's how you can know that maybe there's some unforgiveness. And you need to actually deal. You need to make work of it. You need to go to that person, all right? And you need to repent. Say sorry and bless that person. Right, just like they're doing business, just a little tip is that we manage the expectations that people have of us. Okay, because as I said, we've disappointed someone maybe in this instance. But we need to manage. If you realize you're disappointing someone on a regular basis, and I used to do that with Charlene very often when it came to, you know, getting home at a certain time from work or whatever. I was just very bad at, you know, Charlene would, she would know that I'll be at home at least an hour later than what I originally told her. And it's really bad. And so eventually I got a little bit better at it, and she has got more grace for me. But we need to help manage the expectations. Otherwise, we set people up to get disappointed. And then, you know, that's not right of us. So where we can, we want to avoid the whole bitterness, anger, resentment, unforgiveness thing. Where we play a part in that, we need to do our best to help manage the situation. All right. So the best thing to do is communicate. We need to communicate effectively. And we all know broken telephone, the game the kids play. And I tell you, as adults, we could play that game over weekends as well to try and teach us lessons, because we still make that mistake. When it comes to communication, be it speaking, SMS, email, whatever, you can say something as clearly as you think you can, and it can be completely understood in a different way on the other end. There's such high risk of miscommunication, misunderstanding, which can lead to offenses and bitterness today with all the different media channels that we have. Obviously, the best is still face-to-face, but even then, we can be misunderstood. Okay. So, whatever you need to do when you say something, we need to make sure we think it through and that we speak life and positively, and that we prevent ourselves from speaking harsh words and just venting and so on. Okay, then fifthly, just going to wrap it up in a second or two, we need a godly perception of ourselves. You need to realize you are very special and unique. You guys all know the scripture, fearfully and wonderfully made. You are very special. You have been created by God. Okay. Don't feel condemned here tonight. Also, if you're in this place, maybe that you know that of someone that you're not getting along with, don't feel condemned. You are precious to God, and He's made a way for you, and He will give you the grace. If you trust Him for this, if you ask Him, and you can do that now, you can release that person. You can forgive that person. You don't have to go there. Whatever hurt it's been, whether it's something towards God, God understands that, okay, but He's not wrong. He's never wrong. You need to repent of that. And Simone once testified, you felt you needed to forgive God, or you felt the Holy Spirit saying that's okay to do that so that you could get that release. God has compassion. He has understanding for that. Simone knows God wasn't wrong, but she needed to actually speak those words so that she could experience the release. You see, forgiveness sets you free. The other person was never trapped, except by their own foolishness and whatever, but you can't trap someone, okay? Unless you physically put them in a cage, but then you need to open the door and set them free, okay? All right? So, we need to do that for ourselves. 1 Peter 1, verse 18 to 19, for the sake of time, I'm also just paraphrasing, but as I said, you need to understand that you are special and unique and precious to God, that He is so much so that He paid for your life with his life. God, who has never done anything wrong, who is only blessed, who only loves us, he came and he died for us. You were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. We are his children, Romans 8, verse 16, in case you want to know where to reference that. His spirit bears witness with our spirit. And then Psalm 73, verse 25. That our heart's attitude will be more in this line, and you'll see where I'm going to with these scriptures now. Who am I in heaven but you? There's none upon earth that I desire besides you. When Jesus is our focus, when he is the pinnacle of what we live for, when he's our number one, and when we realize how special we are to him, and that really only what he thinks towards us and what he says about us is what matters, then we are not going to pay as much attention to people that are maybe nasty or ugly to us, or, you know, treat you, mistreat you, and whatever. When you know what God thinks towards you, then it's going to be like water off a duck's back. If someone else gives you a sign, that's not a good sign, or something like that, okay? You're going to be able to carry on with your day. It's not going to even cause you to stumble. It's not going to be like a spinner in the wheel. And we need that. Because the world is watching us and the enemy is tempting us. We are getting tested. And that's the number one place where the world looks, sits up and watches us, because they can see something's happened now. Something out of the ordinary. How are you going to respond? If they aren't consciously aware that they're thinking that, they're subliminally thinking that. And it's stored in the memory banks. And they will bring that up. When you try and testify to them, they'll say that, you know, look what you did the other day. You know, you don't handle the situation any differently for me. Why do I need your God? He hasn't done anything for you. Because they can't see God manifest through you. So we need to remember, when the times get tough, we need to remember who we are. First and foremost, we are children of the living God. Redeemed by his blood. We are precious to him. He has plans for us. He created us. He's the one that we receive from first and foremost. We care about what God thinks about us. Compared to what God thinks about us, we don't really care about what other people think about us. Who do you live for? God or people? Whose praise do you want? God's praise? Do you want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant? Or do you want to get all the certificates and merit badges that your friends can dish out to you? Whose praise do you live for? We need to make a decision. From now on, I'm living for God. I don't care. There are people in the world that don't like the way I do things. They don't like the way that I speak and whatever. We need to start making a peace with that and say, well, I don't live for them. I live for God. God has asked me to do this in this way. Remember something that someone told me before I went into ministry. You can't please everyone all the time. In fact, you're never going to please everybody. There's certain people, they're not going to like the style that you're putting out there. They're not going to like the vibes that you're putting out, okay? They're not going to like it. You've got to make a peace with that and realize, but I'm living for God. I'm willing not to win the popularity contest anymore, where that was something that a lot of us strive for, the popularity contest. And actually, it's ironic, but as far as popularity goes, I've got more friends now multiples more friends now than what I had before I knew Christ. If I opened a Facebook page 20 years ago, firstly, it would have been revolutionary. Okay. Secondly, I'd probably have only had 30 or 40 people there. Okay. Join my network. I'm popular. Okay. No, I'm joking. But I've got lots more. I've got lots more and still counting. So I praise God for that. But, you know, and they're precious and special to me. But if someone's going to have a go at me, and that happens on Facebook as well, I say something about God, and a friend of the past doesn't like what I say, you know, that's happened. I've had some funny comments. I make a peace with it. It's not. I'm not sleepless at night. I'm not. You know, I'm not spending hours crying, or even a minute crying about what that person said or anything. You know, I bless that person. Now I know who to pray for. Praise God. And yeah, I'm worried about what God thinks about how I'm living my life, and not what people have to say. So make peace with that. That you're not always going to be the most popular. All right. Then, finally, last point, to allow God to comfort us. Sometimes you can forgive the person, you can do this and that, but nothing's going to bring your bicycle back if they stole your bicycle. Okay, you can forgive those people. You don't know who they are, but you forgive them. Okay, maybe that's happened to some people. Rob, 8 times, 7 times, his bicycle has been stolen. And he's still a believer. Hallelujah. Okay. Still loving people. Yeah. Okay. He's not supposed to have one. I don't know. Is it a sign? No, he's a good rider. Okay. So, you got to forgive. But nothing, it might not bring your bicycle back. Although, obviously, not the same one, but the Lord obviously gave him another one. Okay. At the moment, he's got a pink one. So, I think he's going backwards, but... But yeah, sometimes you're still actually in that place maybe of mourning or severe disappointment. And nothing and no one can bring that thing back. It is, you know, it's God's word has been final on it and whatever. And you're still sitting with disappointment and sadness or maybe even feelings of anger, the whole range. You know, there's stages also that one goes through when you lose things in your life. Or when you lose people, and you can go through a whole host of emotions, and nothing can bring that thing or that person back into your life, but God can comfort you in the midst of that pain. And so you can go through your process as a believer of loving the person, forgiving the person, but you're still sitting with a loss that you have to deal with. And it's God. It is only God that will truly be able to comfort you there. No words will be able to console you. Only God and the revelation of His love and everything that He is and everything that He's done for you will be able to comfort you in that time. Luke 4 verse 18, Jesus said, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. John 10 verse 10, the Lord says, It's the enemy that steals, kills, and destroys, but I have come to give life. Life in abundance. If you're in that place, and it's just like the walls are closing in and there's great darkness and heaviness on you, remember that where you find life is with Jesus Christ. That is where you will find your life again. It's with Jesus. It's returning to Jesus. It's coming to Him. It's asking Him and it's trusting Him and receiving from Him comfort. And love. Romans 12 verse 9. If you're in that place where someone has taken something from you, do not avenge yourselves. Rather give place to wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Those things where you were unfairly treated, I want to ask you not to retaliate. If you know that the person needs to be punished in order to learn a lesson because they obviously don't learn it any other way, if there's no other way, God works like that with us also. He will ask us many times to do something that, you know, in order that we can stop hurting ourselves and whatever. He will ask us. Eventually, He'll use our circumstances to channel us in a direction. Because He cares more about our character than our comfort. Okay? And the Lord will work the same way because He's compassionate and He loves everybody. And so when we know, but this person's not hearing and his life, you know, he's not changing the way he behaves and he's going to hurt someone and we want to take the law into our own hands and we want to help the process along because people are getting offended here. You know, and we want to punish the person or we want to retaliate. I want to urge you not to, but pray. Pray for the person. pray that the Lord will bring the person to his senses. The Bible says that God can do it much better than we can, and he'll get the results. Okay? If we retaliate, we are actually counteracting the work of God, because what we are then projecting is condemnation and judgmentalism, where the Lord does it in such a way that the person will ultimately come closer to him. And that is what we actually want, because that's the only thing that will bring lasting change if a person receives Christ. So the Lord says he can do it much better than us. Vengeance is mine, says God. Let the Lord take vengeance on your behalf. And be satisfied with seeing God take vengeance, with seeing that person come to a place where Christ is their only hope. And take your satisfaction out of that. Not with wrong motives, but with the right motives. Okay, so that is all for tonight. I just want to ask Pietri if you can maybe just come on the guitar a little bit. Thanks. Yo, I'd just like us to pray together. We can maybe just close our eyes. Now understand that, you know, obviously in light of everything that we've shared tonight, no one is perfect, and it is quite possible that at least most of us here find ourselves in a place where there's someone in our life that is causing us distress or frustration, someone that's disappointing us. Or maybe we're just in that emotional place where we are feeling hurt. And I believe that the Lord wanted me to share about this tonight, and that he will honor the word by performing it as he watches over his word, as the Bible says. And so if you come to him with, bring your heart before him, and if you come to him with that disappointment, I believe that the Lord will bring perspective for you, that he will help you to forgive where forgiveness is due, that he will comfort where you are hurting. So I want you to consider your situation. I'm going to give you a moment where I'm just not going to say anything, and I'm going to ask that you will invite the Holy Spirit. You invite the Holy Spirit to search your heart and to maybe highlight someone or people that have caused that frustration, people that you will need to forgive and release in a figurative sense. Or if you're hurting, if your heart is heavy tonight, if you're feeling a bit tender, that you will bring your heart before the Lord and that you will ask him to comfort you. And then I'll pray for us after that. So I'm just going to give you a minute or two and just ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart and bring those people to the front, and then, you know, bring them to the fore. And then what you can do, you can just say it under your breath. But I want you to speak it where you say, the Lord reminds you of someone that has hurt you, that you say, Lord, you know, I forgive so and so in Jesus' name. Just say it. And then make a decision not to mention that thing again. Not to speak about it to anyone again. It's just a decision. And then ask the Lord to help you to deal with those emotions and to comfort you. Okay. Give you a few minutes. Thank you. Isaiah 43, verse 2. That these words will be comforting to you. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, says the Lord. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Lord, we just want to thank you tonight. You are always with us. You always have been. You know what each one here is going through, what they've gone through. You know the relational challenges, Lord God, and the sometimes extreme mistreatment of them, Lord God. And I want to thank you, Lord God, that you are the comforter. You've sent your Holy Spirit to comfort us, to come alongside us, to help us. Thank you that your Spirit is here and that your Spirit resides in us, and that in every situation, Lord, that you can bring that healing balm and that you can comfort. I pray, I speak words of comfort, Lord, to each one here. I pray that you'll minister right into their heart of hearts. Lord, that you'll, that they would leave here tonight experiencing your peace. That there will not be any longer this inner turmoil that so many are experiencing in various degrees, Lord, but that they'll just be overwhelmed by your peace, Lord, comforted by you. Because, Lord, your comfort is not fleeting, but is one that remains. I pray, Lord, for revelation of your presence. You are ever present, always with us. I pray, Lord God, that you will remind us, Lord, that this won't be just something that we do, Lord, every so often, but that it will be a lifestyle where we can walk in that, just that attitude of humility and forgiveness, Lord, realizing that people around us don't always, they don't know what they're doing. They don't realize. Even as we didn't realize what we were doing. And continue, Lord. Not realizing what it cost to see you hang on a cross for us. We would have that humility and realize that the grace that you've extended to us, you've asked us to extend. Pray, Lord, that forgiveness would grow in that, that it would be a lifestyle that we can adopt. Lord, that phrase, until sunset, Lord, we wouldn't let the sun go down on our wrath. Until sunset, that even as the sun sets, Lord God, every day that we'd be reminded, that we'd search our hearts. Maybe we would know instantly, Lord, if there's someone that we need to forgive. We wouldn't go to sleep at night harboring resentment towards someone, Lord, because it's only by your grace that we wake up in the morning. It's only by your grace that we will live to see another day. Because you have numbered our days. You know when they are up. Pray, Lord, by your grace we can walk in forgiveness. Come and set us free. Come and set people free in this church, Lord. Struggle to forgive. Come set us free. It's only when we walk in forgiveness that we are truly free. Free to love people. Free to love ourselves. Because I know that people who struggle to forgive, I know they struggle with such guilt and shame. Just falling under the lie of the enemy that they're some kind of second-rate believer. But I thank you, Lord, there's no condemnation for us here today, but there's only grace, grace to forgive. Thank you for your Spirit, Lord. You make it possible for us to do that. Very often in our own capacity, it would be impossible to forgive someone. And we'd only want to take revenge. But I thank you by your grace, we can forgive. We can release the person into your hands, Lord, that you will do what you want. But ultimately that you'd bring them to you. I pray for grace to be able to speak blessing over those who curse us. I pray for grace to love our enemies. In Jesus' name.